From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Live streaming video looks like it has officially moved from fad to trend. Tumblr launched live video for its blogging platform this week, and the Wall Street Journal has a report saying Facebook is spending $50 million to pay celebrities and publishers like BuzzFeed for creating live video content on the social network. And today, one of the largest conferences for online video creators, VidCon, kicks off in Anaheim, California. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look.
YouTube stars like Jenna Marbles have huge fan bases for their videos.
So there are some moths in my house, and I don't really want to kill them, but they are driving me crazy.
Marbles will be at VidCon for panels and meet and greets to connect personally with those fans, but not too personally. VidCon is banning fans from approaching content creators to hand them gifts and letters. There'll be metal detectors and bag checks and lots of uniformed security. Meredith Valiando Rojas of Digitour produces social media shows across the country, and she says heightened security is the way it's going to be now.
The talent have been concerned about feeling comfortable. I mean, they love their fans, but they're scared, and with good reason.
USC marketing professor Jitender Sedev says the new security will be hard for some, but
YouTube stars and their fans' bonds will remain firmly intact.
Because, he says, they have plenty of ways to connect on social media without being face-to-face at VidCon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Speaking of online video, looks like Amazon is doing pretty well on that front these days. A new report from the broadband network company Sandvine looks at what services take up the largest percentages of daily internet traffic in North America. Netflix, it's well known as the top dog, 35%. YouTube, which suffered an outage yesterday, is around 17%. But Amazon Video has crept up into the distant third spot, about 4.25%. That is twice what it was a year ago. And it puts Amazon ahead of iTunes and Hulu. There's also HBO Go, of course, which I used to watch this week's episode of the show Silicon Valley. It featured an idea familiar to many in tech.
Did we just get 7,000 users in a day?
We sure did. We're back!
I don't know if it was the outreach or the tutorials, but we seem to be getting traction.
Actually, spoiler alert, it was someone buying fake users to boost a startup's numbers and its reputation. This happens a lot in the real world, too. And this month, the video game streaming site Twitch said it was going to sue 7 companies that seemed to offer followers for sale with the help of bots programmed to boost numbers. Ian Bogost is a professor at Georgia Tech and a game designer, and we figured he could shed some light on this for us. Ian, this is something that happens a lot, right?
It's not uncommon. You can buy followers on Twitter, and even more than on digital platforms like Twitch and Twitter and YouTube. You can also buy your way onto bestseller lists, you know, book bestseller lists. It costs a lot more money to do that.
Is this kind of a dirty open secret? I feel like it is.
Oh, yeah, I feel like it is, too. And I think maybe what Twitch is after, and you know, it's important to remember that Amazon owns Twitch, so they have other interests here, is revealing that open secret, making it, you know, a little bit less of a secret, drawing attention to the fact that, I don't know if you'd call them, you know, kind of unseemly activities, but that you're not always getting what you appear to be as a viewer of videos, as a buyer of books, or what have you.
What do you think the real solution is?
Well, one of the solutions would be for all of us to obsess less about numbers, about numeric ways of counting. I was thinking about this in relation to book sales, and, you know, bestseller lists and sales rank on a website like Amazon. Those are factors, but they're not like on the cover of the book, right? Whereas you see a Twitch stream or you see a YouTube video, and you can't not look at the view count. It's almost a part of the experience. So at its base, the solution is not litigation or not technology, but simply all of us becoming less susceptible to quantitative measures of success.
So what does this issue of quantitative measures of success make you think about in the digital economy big picture?
Well, you know, one of the things that makes me think of is there's so much content now that one of the ways to reach or ensure that you stay in the top 10 or what have you is to spend a lot of money on what we kind of euphemistically call user acquisition. That's part of what the digital economy has brought us, this strange sense of very, very large numbers of people accessing essentially free content as a way of then somehow converting some portion of those eyeballs into actual money.
Ian Bogost, he is a video game designer. He is also a professor at Georgia Tech. Ian, thank you very much for talking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Software, hardware, whateverware, supply chains for tech companies are increasingly complex these days. They can include questionable material sourcing and, in some places, forced labor. Well, an organization called Know the Chain just released the ICT Benchmark Findings Report. It's about supply chain transparency. Companies like HP and Apple share more information than Canon or Foxconn, for instance. Killian Moot is project director for Know the Chain. Killian, in a globalized economy, it seems like it's really hard to control everything about your supply chain, even if you want to. So should these companies be held responsible?
That's a great question. And there's a growing acknowledgement by the private sector that forced labor issues might exist for them and that they need to do more about it. Our recent report found that nearly every company, 18 of the 20, acknowledged that forced labor might be an issue for them and were aware of it.
So how do you advise companies fix this issue?
One particular population that is at high risk, and we encourage companies to focus in and know where the risks are, is with migrant workers. Particularly in a globalized economy today, workers are moving quite frequently from one location to the next for work, commonly recruited through the supply chain. In that example in Malaysia, you have a third of the workers are actually in a situation of bonded labor that are migrant workers. So we encourage companies to understand and engage where the risks are to appropriately ensure that these recruited workers in particular are not in situations of forced labor.
Killian Moot is project director at Know the Chain. Killian, thanks for chatting.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
We've posted some more information at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.